Alderman Ray Lopez often makes news. He represents the 15th Ward and does a fine job at that. I forgive you, by the way, Alderman Lopez, for blowing me off yesterday. It's okay. I forgive you. You're busy people. You got a lot on your plate. How are you?
I will come groveling before you, Anna. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I was promoting it.
From yesterday, always charge your cell phone.
Yes. I know you got a lot of calls. A lot of people in your ward, I'm sure, have concerns. This has been a busy time for aldermen. I noticed, though, there's a lot going on with police accountability practices at City Hall, and there's been some back and forth. And it doesn't sound like you entirely agree with a lot of your colleagues over there at City Hall. And you've been pretty outspoken. Can you kind of bring us all up to speed about what's going on here? I'm told we're looking at summer and trying to get ahead of plans for potential summer violence.
You know, we just had a public safety committee meeting on what we need to do in order to try, as you said, get ahead of the violence that our city will possibly face this summer. And I think it's important to note that, you know, we don't need to fool ourselves. We know that as the weather gets warmer, the activity will increase. We know this. What I think has been surprising is that we've seen so much activity early on, like now while it's still cool out. So we want to try and brace ourselves. But unfortunately, a number of my colleagues are trying to focus on, you know, spending more money on programs and social justice type issues without confronting the elephant in the room, which is that gangs and criminals are emboldened in this city while parents are asleep at the switch. And I know nobody likes to bring this up. We've seen that throughout the entirety of the conversation about Adam Toledo and Anthony Alvarez. But if we keep ducking and dodging that root cause of what's going on in our city, in our families, in our neighborhoods, we're never going to have an impact on the drivers of the violence and the gang activity that we see in our communities.
Mm-hmm. And I know that it's not lost on the police department or the city or anybody that there is a gang problem in Chicago, for sure. There hasn't been, I would say, a great way of dismantling that system and finding alternatives for the kids. I wonder why we are where we are right now. It's a question on so many of our minds that we still have an illegal weapons issue. We've got a gang problem that, you know, it's worse than so many other cities, even ones that are larger than us, like New York and L.A.
Well, I think absolutely we do have an influx of illegal weapons, illegal guns in the city of Chicago. Every day we're seeing guns taken off the streets by the dozens. You know, we'll have thousands of guns by the end of the year illegally taken off the streets of Chicago, only to replace by thousands of illegally imported new guns brought into the city. But, you know, some of our policies do have an impact. You know, the Chicago Police Department dismantling the gang unit, dismantling the narcotics unit, had a huge impact, I believe, as I warned it would over a year ago. You know, those individuals were solely focused on those magnets of violence in our neighborhoods, those gang members, those drug dealers, who oftentimes, if you remove them from a community, instantly drive the numbers in a more positive direction. And despite warnings, the police department went ahead and dismantled those two units. We're seeing where the police are now focused more on positive community interaction numbers, PCI numbers, you know, getting out and saying hello to somebody while pumping gas, as opposed to focusing on catching criminals. And criminals know this, and they see and hear what's coming from the mayor's office and from 35th in Michigan, where press conference after press conference, the public is being told that police will no longer chase you in their car. They will no longer run after you on foot. Well, if I'm a bad guy, then I know I'm pretty much going to get scot-free if I do anything. And until we start changing that narrative, as opposed to the pro-gang narrative that we hear so often, we're going to continue to go down the wrong path.
You know, one of the things that's concerning to me when I hear those discussions is that if you some areas, some different cities and municipalities have the rule that if you can find the person later, then don't chase them. If there's a way to identify them, if you have their license plate or you know who the person is, then don't give chase. And the only concern I have about that, just thinking of recent situations in mind, is that if someone has already shot out 8 shots or 10 shots into a crowd, into a street, and they're armed and they're running through a neighborhood, I just wonder if it's in the best interest of public safety to go and apprehend that person. And it concerns me that we'll be okay. I mean, there are other tools that the police can use, I'm told, such as surrounding them, bringing other units to the scene. But at some point, it still sort of begs for some sort of apprehension if people are running through neighborhoods with guns and firing them. Am I missing something?
No, you're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right. You know, we are creating an aversion to apprehension. Even calling in more units to help to try to corral criminals to avoid having to give chase. You know, we've seen where last year police were hammered for, what do they call that, kettling? Mm-hmm. Individuals who were destroying the loop. Oh, you kettled us. We should have been allowed the opportunity to leave. You know, no, at some point, law enforcement has to apprehend people who are breaking the law, period. That is what their job is. That is what their role is. And to exactly your point, Anna, if you let criminals go because you think you're going to get them later, what damage and havoc are they going to cause until you catch them, until you find them at a gas station, until you see them? And let's not forget Anthony Alvarez, who was the suspected gangbanger on the Northwest side, was not apprehended the first time. They caught up with him at a gas station the following day, and we still had a situation unfold where the police officer saw a gun, gave chase, and had to make a decision on whether or not to shoot. So no matter what we do, there's always going to be danger in the apprehension of people who are committed to either the gang lifestyle, selling of drugs, or just all-around criminality.
That said, are there efforts to put money into programs that give kids alternatives and help, help with the problem from a different perspective than just fighting crime? Do you feel as if the city's doing an adequate job at sort of addressing other needs?
Well, that was one of the discussion points in the public safety committee meeting that we had. You know, where are we at with our summer jobs and things of that nature? And there are plenty of opportunities for young people out there. Oftentimes, particularly for our youth, it's not so much a matter of not enough programs, it's just a matter of making sure that what we provide is sufficient in terms of breaking that cycle. You cannot provide a program, whether it's for youth, whether it's for returning citizens, or whether it's for people who are hard into the gang culture, to break that cycle if you still allow them the opportunity to go back to bad behavior. And so oftentimes our violence reduction partners allow their participants, who oftentimes have intersected with the law, they allow them the opportunity to be a program participant and still be a gangbanger and still sell drugs, which I think is self-defeating and a waste of our taxpayer dollars. Our dollars should be used to break that cycle. Programs like READY, which Rahm Emanuel started a couple years ago, sought to break that generational cycle, that grip of gang violence, by providing full-time employment to individuals who wanted to help spruce up the city, get away from the gang life, and stop having to be in that same orbit. And that was a very successful program. Unfortunately, we don't see that same kind of meticulous participation in many of the programs that we see today. So that when you have aldermen, for example, who will proudly report that they have $37 million in anti-violence programming money coming into their ward, but still have some of the highest gang issues going on and shootings and things of that nature going on unchecked, you really have to start questioning what is the value of the programming dollars we're spending if we're getting no benefit from it.
These are tough times, and it's difficult solutions. I'm happy to see vigorous debate within council. Are there any moves? I know the foot chase policy is being totally reviewed. The mayor has tasked the police superintendent to come up with a whole new way of proceeding with foot chases. Anything else that sort of will be changed, you think, pretty soon?
Well, I think we're seeing a number of different changes coming down the pike, particularly when it comes to the allocation of our detectives. You know, sadly, I think we're going to see a policy where detectives are on various watches are not going to be allowed to focused on the work of solving crimes, but are going to be used more as a stationary asset in our city. I think that is just to try to give the illusion that we have more boots on the ground when we in reality do not. Many of the policies that we're seeing are very much narrative and politically driven, and they're not going to get to the root cause of the issues that we're seeing with our neighborhoods and their interactions with the police department. I personally believe, Anna, that we can have a city where we are able to apprehend, where we are able to pursue, and where we are able to engage without the community questioning our police officers every single time. Mm-hmm. I've said numerous times we must restore the legitimacy of law enforcement, and if that means we have to have some sort of new oversight, then let's get to that, because our officers put their lives on the line every day, and we don't need the public being armchair quarterbacks questioning everything that they do and every motive for why they do it. We have to get back to where officers are respected and appreciated in the communities for what they do, because they are truly the line between the good people of Chicago and those that are not. And anyone who thinks that social counseling and things of that nature are the only sole way forward truly are misguided in their thinking.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. The discussions continue on all that. Hey, just one more thing here. I saw that a lot of summer jobs are open and that kids are not signing up for them. What's going on there, Alderman Lopez?
You know, every year for the past 6 years, we've had the One Summer Chicago program, which would hire thousands of youth, 14 to, I believe, almost 20, if I'm not mistaken. For various jobs, either with the city or with some of our community partners and businesses. Now, with the pandemic, we started to see this trend last year, but we're definitely seeing it now where individuals are opting not to work. In many cases, and we're seeing some information that supports this, that they are choosing the unemployment benefits or what have you, as opposed to trying to actually get a job. It's impacting our abilities at the Park District, but we will continue to push forward to try and get more of our youth engaged. Many of the workers will be working either virtually or will be working in city offices and things of that nature. But hopefully, parents will step up and tell their children to sign up, or they will sign their children up so that they can get some real-life world experience and start knowing what it feels like to earn money for themselves and hopefully get hooked on that feeling as well.
Yeah, you hope so. Hey, I'm happy you could join today, Ray. I saw that you looked like you enjoyed your Cinco de Mayo yesterday. You posted pictures of some delicious-looking tacos, and it sounds like you had a good time. You had some time to do that. Did you have fun?
Well, you know, I just want to point out that, you know, the mayor decided to take the high road and educate people on the history of Cinco de Mayo, and I decided to use Twitter to educate people on what an actual taco looks like.
Right.
It's
very hearty.
Debate, but, you know, it's well worth it.
I liked it. It's worth checking out. It's R. Lopez 15th Ward if you want to follow Alderman Lopez. Very colorful stuff in your Twitter handle there. You're a great follow, Alderman Lopez. Thanks for the time today, okay? Be well.
Thank you, Anna. Sure.
We'll talk again soon.